May my speaking and all our responding be in the name of God. Amen.
Amen.
From this morning's Gospel, but the disciples did not understand what Jesus was saying and were afraid to ask him. Peter's confession of faith that we heard in last week's Gospel, "You are the Christ," is followed by the first prediction of the Passion and Resurrection, which we heard in this morning's Gospel. The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again. And this account appears in all three synoptic Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and it marks a turning point, a centre point, in each of those Gospels, because the story changes from now onwards. Up until this point, those three Gospels have been mainly an account of miracles as signs of God's kingdom and of Jesus as the one who has come to proclaim it and prepare people to enter it, not as just some future hope beyond the grave, but the kingdom of God here on earth, his will being done on earth as it already is in heaven. But from here on in the Gospels, the mood changes. The disciples, though still following, are finding it harder to understand. Is he not going to be the leader of the populist movement getting rid of the occupying Roman forces? What's all this talk of death about? They did not understand that this revolution was not about nationalism, nor about them having the best seats on the throne, nor about one being greater than the other. But it was about God's kingdom here on earth, about Jesus revealing what this kingdom, this new order of love, would look like, feel like. But that entry into this new age was going to be costly. Indeed, it was going to cost Jesus everything. Jesus came to set God's kingdom into the reality of the world, his new order of love. Yet, in reflecting how this was to be done, it is clear that he came to the conclusion that suffering and death were inevitable. Why inevitable? He could have chosen other ways, of course, of delivering his message to the world. He could have remained a sublime teacher of religious truth, sitting on the edge of Galilee with hundreds straining for his every word. Or he could, like the Dead Sea Scroll community, have formed a dedicated religious fellowship withdrawn from the world. The reason he did not choose these ways was because of the nature of his message. It wasn't just a personal salvation plan or a set of new rules, but it was about transformation, a transformation of self, of society, and of the whole world. A rule of love and forgiveness, a rule which had a lively and growing relationship with God, who, quite remarkably, one could dare to call Father. But the religious establishment, the official guardians and interpreters of the law, the Torah, stood against him. Their whole wealth, power base and authority were based on their teaching that God blessed the righteous and the zealous for their religious fervour and the keeping of all the religious laws, with an abundance of riches and authority and power. There was no way that they were going to give up that power, that authority and income stream from the temple taxes. So the issue had to be put to the test. It could not be left in doubt. Conflict was inevitable. And as the three gospel writers, Matthew, Mark and Luke, agree, Jesus was trying to prepare his disciples for this challenge that would lead to suffering and death, but they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Now, with the Easter perspective, with Jesus' victory over sin, grave, death and the grave, with his demonstration of how love does overcome everything, how transformation is possible, indeed vital, the disciples finally understood. But it took the experience of death and resurrection for the change to come about, for that new life to be understood. So where does that leave us, we who are called to be followers of Jesus, who are called blessed because we have not seen and yet believe, but who are also called to take up our cross and follow him? Does this lead to a death? In many ways it does, in the sense that we are called to die to the baser instincts that get in the way with a relationship with God. For we are called to let go all the things that get in that way of a deepening relationship with God, all the things, the attitudes that tend to take the priority over our lives, which ensnare us or which prevent us from being more effective channels of God's love, forgiveness, hope and peace in our lives, in our relationships and in our communities. Those attitudes and priorities and even conflicts that prevent God's kingdom being experienced in our lives and experienced by those who are affected by our decisions or indecisions. Yes, there is a death of our old selves or of our former ways. But this is not just a one-off. This is a continual process of reflection, of self-analysis, which is why daily prayer, meditation, or just taking oneself off to the proverbial mountain that was so valuable to Jesus, getting away from it all for a time and getting fresh perspective, that process of reflection upon our daily lives and upon God is so important. Let me finish with a visual aid, my stole. You'll know that when a person is ordained priest, the stole that has been worn sideways during the diaconate is placed by the archdeacon centrally. And I'm sure you'll remember that it symbolises the towel that Jesus wore when he washed the disciples' feet. It is a symbol of service, not power, not authority. And every time priests place it around their neck in preparation for a service, it's an important reminder that they are called to serve the community in which they are set. A symbol of service rather than of power. And the design you'll see on them, I arranged, repeated on all the liturgical colours, is one of the cross. Yes, that great Christian symbol of innocent suffering and death. But notice it's an empty cross, not a crucifix, symbolising also the victory over sin and the grave, symbolising the hope of the new life to which we are called. Notice also that the arms of the cross on the design are lifted up as in welcome. Let the children come to me, Jesus said, do not stop them. Or as in this morning's gospel puts it, let the children come to me. Whoever welcomes such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. None of us fully understand, do we? But unlike the disciples who were afraid to ask, let us not be afraid to ask, to search, to admit doubts, to reflect, because we are all at different stages of our journey in faith, and we can learn from one another, encourage one another, and even challenge each other in love as we seek as individual disciples and as the church in this place to enable a better glimpse of what the kingdom of God, this new life, actually means and the positive difference it makes and can make to everything. Amen.